This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time here on RNIB Connect Radio to chat with Emily Anakin, who has just completed her studies in architecture and planning at the University of the West of England in Bristol with a 2-1. Prior to starting her degree and during her A-levels, with all the COVID restrictions at the same time, Emily's eyesight started to deteriorate and she was diagnosed with Stargardt's disease, which all got worse during her architecture and planning degree. For part of her final year project, Emily reimagined a section of Bristol's harbourside, making it more accessible and maybe a bit more nature-friendly too. Hello, Emily, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, and lovely to be here.
I believe that drawing and painting was something that you always did when you were younger and going through school too. How did you and your family find out that you had Stargardt's disease? And how did you feel at the time as you were going through your A-levels and obviously wanting to go on to study architecture and planning?
Well, my sister actually found out that she had Stargardt's before me. So when she was leaving primary school, we realised that her eyesight was worse than it should be. And then after a few years, we worked out what it was and did some genetic tests and then realised that actually I had it too. And that was when my eyesight started deteriorating when I was about 17.
And how was that sort of, I suppose, at that time? Because obviously, you know, sort of you're going on to study something that's very visual. Did you think, oh gosh, am I going to be able to carry on? Or, you know, sort of, am I going to have to adapt the way that I work and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so because it was in the middle of my A-levels, I was so busy and had so much to do, I just carried on and tried my best to get everything done. But my drawing was getting worse and worse on paper as my eyesight would get worse. So for Christmas, I got an iPad and an Apple Pencil, and I taught myself how to draw digitally instead. And then I actually redid my first term of work while doing my second term of work in time to submit.
And how does that work on the iPad? Is it just a case of, you know, sort of sketching on the iPad, but then having that ability to zoom in and to be able to see things in detail, which you may not be able to do unless you're really sort of close up?
Yeah, so I use a program called Procreate, and it just lets me zoom all the way in. So something that would be a centimetre on paper could be the size of a 13-inch iPad screen. So it was so much easier to actually do even the smallest bits of detail because I would do it at such a huge scale.
And were your lecturers and tutors happy for you working in this way? And did they have to adapt for sort of their teaching and that kind of stuff?
Well, in foundation year, we were encouraged to not use technology. So I tried my best to draw on paper and learn the techniques using the drawing board. But then they also let me draw on my iPad whenever I needed. And after the foundation year, I'd moved to using my iPad pretty much all of the time and then using some computer programs as well.
And how did you find using the computer programs? Because obviously they probably weren't sort of adapted for you. Did you get on with them, or did you sort of, I suppose, need some assistance and help in taking your drawings from your iPad into that sort of 3D sort of model that people use on computers when they're doing architecture and planning?
So my lecturers were really good at helping me learn the programs because they are definitely not designed for visually impaired people. But so I tend to use a MacBook rather than a Windows laptop as I find it easier to use. So by zooming in with that, I could pretty much remember where everything was, and I managed to make 3D renders of my work. But the lecturers did sit down and teach me with each program whenever I needed help.
Oh, it's good to hear. And I suppose having something in 3D that you've produced, then you can look at that in a different way and get closer to it and get a sense of, I suppose, what things look like. Because I suspect when you're zooming in pretty sort of large on a monitor, on a program, on a computer, you don't necessarily maybe get that whole sort of view. But having a 3D model probably gives you that extra sort of, I suppose, overview of it.
Yeah, I'm also quite good at picturing what my designs will look like in my head. So I've got an idea of how the space works, but I then struggle to get that idea across to everyone else without doing the 3D model. So by doing that, it creates a massing that I can then explain my ideas to other people through.
And I suppose having something there in front of you, you can look at it in a better way from different angles and walk around it whilst on a computer. I suppose you're doing that, but you're doing it in a digital way rather than physically with a model.
Yes, and you can also get a good idea about how the lighting will work by creating the windows and the openings and putting it in the right hemisphere and right angles to see where the sun will move out throughout the day, and work out how the shadows will work.
For your architecture and planning degree dissertation, you looked at how to make life better for blind and partially sighted people in regards to sort of getting around the built environment and open spaces. And working on your dissertation, was that a good time for you, being able to chat with other visually impaired people and maybe in a way have time for you to come to terms with your sight loss?
Yes, so because I've gone straight from college finding out that I'm visually impaired to doing a foundation year to then doing a full-blown degree, I haven't had much time to stop and actually reflect on the fact that I'm visually impaired. But speaking to a load of people while doing my dissertation made me understand their experiences of the built environment, and then that put some ideas together in my head of how I experience it and how that is different to able-bodied, sighted people.
And working on your dissertation and chatting with other blind and partially sighted people, that I think in a way formed your final year project, which was sort of in a way reimagining the Bristol Harbour side to make it more accessible for blind and partially sighted people and maybe a little bit more nature friendly. Would you just sort of chat to me about how you sort of redesigned the Bristol Harbour side?
Yes, yeah, so currently there's a massive derelict space which hasn't really got much of a use other than a thoroughfare for people to walk through for work. So I wanted to create sort of a landmark, per se, for people coming into the city from Temple Meads heading towards the centre. And also in doing so, I created a wayfinding stream so that people could use their senses other than sight to find their way through to the city centre. This also passed through my building design, which was a climate change institute. And the circulation around the building as well was kept really simple so that it surrounded the courtyard and it was just one meandering hallway with no big corners or anything, so that it was really easy to navigate the building, and all of the rooms were on the left hand side so that it was easy to find where you were at all times.
And what would you say are the sort of main things that architects and planners should be thinking about when designing sort of the built environment and open spaces to make them more accessible and friendly for blind and partially sighted people? Are there sort of two or three things they should be thinking about?
Yeah, so it's definitely important to design for all the senses and not just sight, because even people who have perfect vision experience all the other senses as well, so it makes it a much more pleasant place all round for everyone if all the senses are considered. Again, with lighting, as you move from outside the buildings to inside the buildings, so from going from a really bright space to a really dark space, sometimes that can be problematic So if you can reduce the contrast between the two of them or ease it in, that can make it a much more pleasant experience. And also it's things like tactile markers. So by having tactile markers before you go up the stairs or at the top of the stairs, it can warn you that there's something coming up. So it's less of a hazard, potentially.
I suppose making the built environment and the outdoor spaces accessible to blind and partially sighted people and disabled people just helps everyone, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Because people will read the environment with all their senses. And yeah, because it makes the world a more pleasant place to exist in for everyone, not just people with no sight.
Emily, how do you see your career within architecture and planning going now that you have graduated?
Well, I would love to specialise in accessibility and learn more about accessibility, particularly for visually impaired people, but for everyone, so that I can attempt to make the built environment a more accessible space for everyone. I'm looking to particularly go into urban design at the moment, but I could be swayed.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Emily, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio, and I wish you good luck for the future in your career in architecture and planning.
Thank you for having me.